If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56david.com. Atlantic Coast Mortgage, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 643-114.
I'm Elise Kling, sitting in for Steve Bertrand today on the Wintrust Business Lunch. You can follow me on Twitter at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. I've got a Facebook page, all that kind of stuff. Andrea Hannes joins me right now. She's the editor of Blue Sky Innovation. Happy Friday.
Thanks, Elise. Great to see you.
It's nice to see you as well. So you've got a whole long list of really cool things going on with technology in the city. I wanted to dig in. We don't have as much time as I would have hoped. I never do with you anyway. But I love this first one that you wanted to talk about today, this public-private partnership called Current. Tell me about that.
Yeah, so Chicago, as you know, is on a giant body of water. And so people are thinking that perhaps we can use some of our public and private companies to create sort of a water innovation hub and encourage some of the research that's being done about all kinds of aspects of water use and turn those into businesses.
You know, it's really interesting. There's a company that I know of, a small startup that actually is also involved in that space that is into coatings and helping companies use water more effectively and efficiently. Who's coming together behind that? I know you said Argonne is one of them, but who else?
Yeah, Argonne, some of the universities, mm-hmm. The Water Reclamation District. So it definitely crosses over different industries and different, you know, public aspects as well.
Is there a place that people can go who are interested in that? Do you have it online or maybe publish it later on Twitter?
We do. Yep. We have a story up online and the name of it is Current. Mm-hmm. So it should be easy to find. It's getting some coverage this week and it's out of World Business Chicago.
That's so cool. I love the second one that you have, a Chicago startup called Tip Yourself. That could be almost anything. What is it?
It could. And I think Tip Yourself is a little bit, you either totally get it and think it's a great idea or you're kind of like, why is this necessary? It's something that you use where you can set up a little maybe incentive for yourself, or I guess it could be a punishment for yourself where you take
that
money.
Sounds a little S&M-ish.
Yeah. Well, you know, we were using the example of taking the stairs instead of the elevator.
Okay.
If you want to like treat yourself every time you take the stairs, you could set up your account and tip yourself to put a dollar or whatever the amount would be into a little special savings account so you could eventually reward yourself.
Okay, so this is a self-motivated reward app.
Exactly.
Okay, you do it, you reward yourself.
You do it, it's your own money, which is why some people might say, why not put it in a jar or do something else with it? Instead, you're using an app to actually transfer the funds into a special account.
All right, so your notes that I got for the show today said that Apple featured this as one of the best new apps. Why do you think they liked it so much?
They did, and it's still up there. I think, you know, it kind of fits that treat yourself kind of thing, and it kind of fits that goal setting kind of idea. And it's just, I think if you think it's fun, it could be fun to do that. We have people who climb the stairs and every time they say like, stairs were taken. It's just like almost a little tiny reward for yourself to encourage behavior. And I can see why, you know, things about productivity and self-improvement are super popular.
I could see that getting combined with, say, Fitness Pal. Right.
So yep.
So Fitness Pal, which is monitoring, you know, every time you're on your life cycle or every mile, every step you take. Right. I
yep.
can see it tied together somehow.
Put a penny into your account for every step or something.
Can we get a percentage of that deal if that happens?
That sounds like a great idea.
Okay. Last one you've got today, Fitness Cubed. What's that?
So they're a company that created an under desk elliptical machine. So it's like,
you would
ride your little bike under your desk. This is an elliptical. And it goes to this idea we keep hearing that, you know, sitting is the new smoking. That sitting is the most dangerous thing we can do, and it's what many of us do all day in our jobs.
Right.
So they have designed a little elliptical, a little squat little elliptical machine that you would put under your desk, and you can literally just kind of work your legs on it. And they funded it using Kickstarter and then also got some later investment to make sure that they could actually provide a good product and provide it to their customers.
All right, so the deal that we're going to imagine for this one is not only does it, you know, make you healthy, but it then powers your laptop.
Yeah, that could work.
Or your cell phone.
Or they could partner with Tip Yourself. That's another thing. This company should partner with that one. Maybe every mile you cover under your desk, you can give yourself a dollar.
All right. And we were talking about Shinola, which you said is planning an eyewear factory in today's story for the south side of Chicago. And what I loved about this is that it's already built. They're already making watches and bicycles And now you're going to be able to see them more clearly.
I know. We were talking about eyewear earlier, right? And that's exactly what they're all about. You know, they're famous for their watches. I think that's kind of the sort of hipster thing that they're really known for. And they've gone into other areas. A little bit cheeky, they make shoe polish as a reference to their name, which is actually made in Chicago. And even though they're, you know, very much associated with Detroit, that's a big part of their marketing and their brand. They have said that they are planning to open an eyewear company on the south side of Chicago.
That's awesome. I love it. New companies, new business, and more people employed. Andrea Hannes from Blue Sky Innovation, thanks for joining us
today. Thank you, Elise. Have a great weekend.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the Wintrust Business Lunch. I'm Elise Glink, at Glink on Twitter, filling in for my good friend Steve. He'll be back on Monday. Raveen Gandhi is with me now. He's the co-founder and CEO of GMM Nonstick Coatings. He's an active angel investor, a mentor for young entrepreneurs, a member of YPO. Nice to have you.
Thanks a lot. Great intro.
Do what we can here at the Wintrust Business Lunch. So what I wanted to talk about today is this whole idea of entrepreneurship. I love that you're mentoring young companies, really, and this has been true for a long time, although the type of company has shifted, I think. You know, the number is greater than 90% of all jobs in this country are created by entrepreneurs, by mom-and-pop shops, used to be. And today now we see tech companies starting up, and they're growing fast. And as an entrepreneur yourself, what do you think has been sort of the making of your success? When you think about all the different things that have gone into it, where did you see your opportunity and jump on it?
Wow. I think probably number one is having the confidence to believe that you can actually do something. You know, when I started my business, we were in a very competitive space, and half the battle is just believing in yourself, that, you know, that you could do it.
Mm-hmm. So when you talk to companies that are young and these entrepreneurs and they have it in their heads, how do you get them over this idea, which is one thing to be confident about, but actually putting that into action?
Well, I would say that the main thing is making sure that they're solving a problem. A lot of time you meet these new companies and they're so passionate about one thing, and I think, is this really a problem that people are going to pay you for? And once you get them focused on thinking that, it actually makes things more actionable for them to actually get out there in the market. And getting out there in the market, as you said, can be half the battle.
Right. It's definitely half the battle. So the nonstick coatings things, I thought I was reading your sort of past bio and what you've done and how you took this other coating company and blew it up, make it really huge, and then you ran that. And now you've started what I think must be a competitive company to some extent, also making nonstick coatings?
Yes. I had sold one business to a large corporation, and they divested it, and my non-compete agreement ended, so I started a brand new company. So I'm really not competing with them because, luckily, they don't exist at the moment.
They're gone. And
capitalism's a wonderful thing.
It's an amazing opportunity. So when you are making a nonstick coating, and I'm a big cook, I love to cook, and so I think about my Kelphalon pans, and I think about, you know, all the things that are, you know, nonstick, and how cool that is. That's a very tangible thing. And when you say to somebody, listen, I'm making a better coating, it's cheaper, it's better, it, you know, whatever, it won't scrape up when you accidentally overcook your eggs. That's one thing. But when people are starting up technology companies, a lot of times there's really nothing physical, right? It's all kind of in the air. How do you get them over that hump?
I think business principles are a given. It's like the law of gravity. Certain principles are true whether or not you're making a tangible product like my coding or you're doing an app. So it's are you solving a problem? Who is your competition? What are your margins? Will people pay you enough money for your product to get to market? That stuff is true whether or not you're talking about, you know, a SaaS company or a nonstick coatings company.
And I love that because way back in 2001, before we had our, you know, the great internet blow up, you know, there were companies who were like, I don't have to make money. Do you remember that?
I do remember that. I was in business school at that time, and it's
like, who
amazing.
Who needs money?
Amazing, amazing. I think that one of the good things that has happened today is that the idea of venture capital has become so, I would say, so much more professional, in the sense of you've got very, very smart people who decide whether to put money into these companies. And 15 years ago, like you said, it was a stock market that went so, so crazy with, we don't need to make money. Whereas these, you know, and I do a lot of these angel investment deals, these venture capitalists today, if you're not profitable already, you better have a clear path to profitability.
Right. And I think that there's, when you're funded by a VC or you've got other kinds of angel investors, I mean, they do eventually want to see a return on an investment. I mean, at some point in time, they're going to lose interest otherwise.
I mean, I tell these teams all the time, if these companies want to make 10, maybe even 20 times on their money. So, you know, the math has to be compelling.
All right. So as we sort of wrap up the segment, it's really good to talk to you, somebody who's out there actually doing it. You've got some tips for staying competitive for employees. And some of the things that you list are never stop learning, expose yourself to new experiences, provide solutions to problems, which I think is actually great. I'm really about the tangible stuff. Find new ways to do something and challenge yourself with new projects. Of those five things, what's your favorite? Where have you taken yourself?
I would say the creativity and the innovation. I find that, you know, in my business, like you said, I make nonstick coatings. People say, okay, this pan, like a Calphalon pan, we do all of their coatings, and we have chemists who say, that Calphalon pan used to be able to go 100,000 metal scrapes. Now it goes 500,000 because these people are innovative. So I think if you're innovative as a person in any capacity, it's absolutely going to identify you as a comer, as a star.
That's great. Ravin Gandhi, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
All right, come back again soon. I'm Elise Glink. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch. Stay tuned. You're listening to WGN Radio. Welcome back, everybody, to the Wintrust Business Lunch. I'm Elise Klink, sitting in for my good friend Steve Bertrand. Shout out to Steve. Hope you're enjoying your day off. So it is April Fool's Day. There have been some things crossing the internet that are patently not true, and some things that are true that sound like they shouldn't be true. This would be, we could cue a whole political discussion right now. Yeah, but we're not going to do that. But Scott, we have Scott Kleinberg. He handles social media for the Chicago Tribune. He's sitting here in the studio. We were laughing about some things during the break. He's here to help us sort out what is true, what is not true. And happy April Fool's Day to you.
Happy April Fool's Day to you as well.
All right, so you got to be very careful out here, right?
Very, very careful, yes. And in fact, everybody in the newsroom is walking around saying, is that true? Is that true? I mean, we're all scared of everything.
Well, I know that I am. I was joking with you earlier. I saw something that crossed Facebook this morning about how the Latin School of Chicago bought Parker and was going to disband all the right brain stuff. And you looked at me blankly. And of course, this only is meaningful to me and anybody else who ever went to Latin or Parker and knows what that rivalry is like. But what are some of the things that you've run across, things that are great April Fool's Day jokes and things that maybe didn't work so well?
Well, the things that, you know, sound like they could be really good and actually are jokes. There's one, a dating site that is supposed to match you up based on the type of burrito that you like to eat.
Ooh.
And the thing that I love about that is it goes by the 32 most likely different things you would put inside this burrito as being the things that you're compatible with. It makes total sense.
I mean, you could
totally do that. Yeah.
Okay. So somebody over at the Merchandise Mart in 1871 is taking notes right now and starting to recode. But anyway,
that's quite possible.
A fake thing. That's an April Fool's
joke. That
is an
April Fool's joke that, you know, seems real.
Okay.
Let's see. Google had some problems. Google likes to do a lot of different April Fool's Day jokes.
Yes.
They do a whole bunch. They did one, this drop mic thing in their Gmail where it's a button, or it was a button next to the send button.
Right.
And it says send and drop mic. So it's supposed to be one of those things where, you know how when you get those emails and you hit reply all and everybody gets to reply?
Oh, yes. So that's so fun, right?
Yeah, exactly. So they tried to do something where, you know, you do this drop mic thing. It sends a funny gif of a character, of a minion character from the movie, and it drops the mic and it goes on. But they didn't let people know that this was happening, so they put this orange button next to the blue send button, and all these people were hitting this button. So people were sending emails to important people with this joke inside of it. But the thing is, once you hit the button, it mutes all the future emails. So there's no way you see the rest of the replies. So it mutes the replies, puts it in, and it's done. It's gone.
Okay, this is like an April Fool's Day joke on you. Not on the people you're trying to
punt,
and nobody really wanted to do that anyway.
Exactly.
Okay, this was a big blow-up.
So that was messed up. So they took it down
because
that happened. And I guess if you're Google and you have 20 different things going on, you can afford to lose one, I guess. But, you know, that's what they had to do for that. So that was kind of crazy.
Okay.
And then meanwhile, you have all these people online trying to tell you that you should find Oreo cookies and you should take out the cream from the middle and replace it with toothpaste.
And
this is apparently a thing that, like, people are, like, telling people to do. It's like, oh, you should do this. It's totally harmless, and kids love it, and this is a great thing to do. And no, it is not totally harmless. It'll ruin your Oreo eating for the rest of your life if you bite into that.
And you know what's so funny? When you started talking about this, I thought, I wonder if he means cookies like technology, like in my computer. Okay, so this is like a chocolate one or a Hydrox or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, I missed that one too.
That seems absolutely crazy. And I'm staying away from Oreos today because now I have to worry about that, and I shouldn't have to.
Right. Right. You should never have to worry about double stuffed.
Never.
All right, so what about this one that I think actually sounds like an April Fool's Day joke, but isn't? North Korea officially blocks social media. Now, that seems true. Like, they do that.
They do that, yeah. If you live inside North Korea, you apparently see a very limited intranet of what they want you to see, and that's really all there is to it. But it used, but until just the other day, somebody who happens to be visiting North Korea and is able to do so was able to check their social media, their Twitter, their Facebook, their YouTube, all that stuff. And now North Korea has finally said they're blocking that along with other South Korean websites.
For visitors.
For visitors.
Okay, let's start with, why are you going on vacation to North Korea? But like that guy who's now doing 15 years for taking down a poster. Like, what about Cancun? Sunny, beautiful, beaches.
But if you think about the photos you can share online of Cancun, everybody's seen photos of Cancun, although I'm sure they're beautiful. You know, here you could actually see something I'm sure that's pretty cool and pretty different if you're able to actually post the photos. So there's that. I'm with you. I say go to Cancun. Yes, that's definitely makes much more sense. But yeah, so now, I mean, it's like as limited as it could possibly be. And, you know, what they're saying is it also means that, you know, any opportunity for people to get information out of what it's like in the country is severely diminished now because of that, obviously.
So here's something that I know that everybody's hoping is not an April Fool's joke, and I don't think it is. Elon Musk announcing the $35,000 Tesla
That's
and 100,000 people in 5 minutes signed up for it. True?
Yeah.
That is true.
Yeah. And it's $1,000 a pop that you have to agree to put down in order to reserve a space for it. So it was a giant line yesterday, and all these people were willing to put down their $1,000 to, you know, have this car. And they say, he says he's relatively confident that they can start delivering by the end of 2017, but I've seen posts that have said that they're not going to start building in mass until the end of 2017, so I don't know how it's all going to actually shake out. But for what they're offering, I don't have a car right now myself at all, but for what they're offering, $35,000 for, you know, this extremely safe car with this amazing technology and a trunk in the front and a trunk in the back. And
it serves you coffee, I hear.
I wouldn't be surprised if it did.
With a double stuffed Oreo.
There you go. For $35,000, it should.
How many tweets per hour about April Fool's Day have you been seeing?
I saw 625,000 as the number a few seconds before I got here, which is crazy. And, you know, you end up getting a lot of tweets where people append the April Fool's Day tag even when it's not.
Right.
I mean, there are people who like to, like you were talking about politics, they like to put something that Donald Trump said and put April Fool's when it's really not. You know, but it just goes to show you what happens when you get a hashtag that starts trending, that starts becoming popular, and most of them are legit as far as April Fool's goes, you know. But that's a lot for, and it's steady. It's like all day long where the numbers are climbing. It's not like gone. It's a steady climb.
Steady climb. I want to ask you about hashtags for a moment because what's so interesting is how people use them in different forms of media. So my kids who have watched my burgeoning Instagram account, let's see, about 2 months ago I had 19 followers.
Okay.
And now I have like 55.
Okay.
It's extremely exciting.
That's awesome.
So meanwhile, I was doing what I do on Twitter where I have many more than that.
Yep.
And I was putting in my hashtags in the actual sentence. You have 140 characters. You got to be conservative.
Yes.
And I did that in Instagram and my kids yelled at me. So talk for a moment in our last minute or two, if you are appending that hashtag, April Fools, how you might want to use it differently depending on the different social media forms you're using.
That is a really good way of putting it. Every platform is different. Twitter, it is a universal belief that you should not overwhelm with hashtags. People who overwhelm on Twitter look like they're spamming you.
What's overwhelming?
To me, two is overwhelming. Okay. Let's put it this way. Three is definitely overwhelming. Two is probably too much. Try decided to do one, if you have to do one at all. You don't have to do hashtags on Twitter. That's the thing. People think you do, but you don't. Instagram, they actually use hashtags to help you search for things. So on Instagram, it is totally normal to have 20, 30 hashtags. Some people put real hashtags. In other words, they would put April Fools. They would put hashtag Oreo. But they might put, for the Oreo one, for example, they might put hashtag that's gross. Just because it doesn't necessarily mean you would search it and find it. On Instagram, it's more normal to do something funny as a hashtag, and it's considered normal. But if you were to do that on Twitter, people would be like, why would you put that hashtag on Twitter? It doesn't make any sense. So it's very, very weird. You're right. It's very weird how it's different depending on where you are and how completely, yeah, the rules are just turned upside down.
Right. And with Instagram, my kids also managed to point out that you don't want to do it inline. So whatever you're writing at the top, they want the hashtags all at the bottom because, as they put it, quote unquote, it's exhausting to have to read hashtags in the inline Instagram. Aren't they right on top of it at 18?
They are. And, you know, we hear these things all the time. And, yeah, it's amazing.
Scott Kleinberg, social media for the Chicago Tribune. You can follow him online. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, Elise.
All right. It is 1248. I'm Elise Glink, the Wintrust Business Lunch. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a moment on WGN Radio. Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the Wintrust Business Lunch. I'm Elise Glink, sitting in for my good friend, Steve Bertrand, today. You can follow me on @Glink on Twitter and Elise Glink on Instagram, where maybe by the end of today's show I'll have 59 followers. John Byrne, who is my cohort on Monday Morning Marketing, that's our podcast that you can hear on WGN Plus, joins me on the line right now. Hey, John, welcome back from vacation.
Thanks. I think it's good to be back. I'm still deciding.
I don't know. I think you had better weather where you were than there is today.
I think I did, too.
But, you know, not bad for April 1st, believe it or not. So great tips. I don't know if you were listening. Scott Kleinberg, who does social media for the Tribune, was just in, and we were talking a little bit about hashtags and inline. That's some of the stuff that we cover on Monday Morning Marketing. I thought he had
Absolutely.
Some awesome points.
Yeah, for sure. Although I will say that it made me think, I was listening, and I don't know if doing an April Fool's content marketing would probably be the wisest of ideas for most businesses.
Even Google, right?
I mean, exactly.
And what did Apple do? I'm trying to think what Apple might have done today. Maybe they were too smart to do that. Facebook certainly featured a lot of stuff. I don't know if they actually did any of it. Content marketing, though, let's talk a little bit about that for a minute, because I'm finding that as we're moving into the spring, you're seeing kind of the seasonality. It's almost tax time. We've got tax days coming up in a couple of weeks. And I'm seeing more and more people trying to get the hashtags tax in there somewhere. What are you seeing?
I'm seeing the same. I think the other thing that a lot of people are doing and to try and newsjack tax season is also reminding people that, I believe it, you don't have to get your taxes in by Friday the 15th. You have until Monday the 18th. Is that right?
Yeah, that's it. Sometimes it falls on the weekend, and so they give you an extra day. That has to also do with, there's some sort of weird holiday in Washington, D.C., and I know this year it falls on Friday, and so that's why it's Monday.
Yeah, and I think but it's a perfect example of newsjacking to say, look, something's different, and then you start pushing all sorts of content to try and get people. If you've gotten their attention over something that's different, then you can move in to start pushing out other types of content that follows from that.
You know, I think that this spring is also a good idea. I wanted to give people, and we'll talk about this maybe more on our Monday Morning Marketing show for Monday, but when people just kind of, the well goes dry, you know, there's so many ideas out there and you feel like, oh my gosh, I've just said the same thing over and over and over again. I know for me, I feel that way because everything, we used to joke in the real estate section of the Chicago Tribune when I used to write for that, that every 6 months you had a new buyer and a new seller, so you could just write the same story over and over again. I mean, not exactly, but today everything lives on forever. So you might find that you get to a place where the well is just dry. And when that happens for you, you got writer's block. What do you do, John? How do you get out of that?
Well, I usually go for a walk, or I try and basically get up from my desk and do something different than it. I think the worst thing when you have a creative block or a writer's block or whatever you want to call it is to try even harder to come up with good ideas, because I think that the ideas just start getting worse.
That's true. I like to sometimes apply a filter to it. So I'll say to myself, all right, what is the worst thing that happens if X, Y, and Z? Or what is the best thing? What happens if you do this from halfway around the world? Or what if you do it from the morning instead of the nighttime? If I try to switch it up, you do it by getting up off your out of your desk. I have a standing desk. I sometimes will just stand. But also trying to look at things in just a little bit of a different light might give you a different cast, make it feel fresh for you again.
Absolutely. I think just getting a new perspective in general is the easiest way to kind of just get, you got to get out of your own head, because oftentimes if you get to a point where you feel like none of your ideas are any good, or you've just hit a point where, like you said, the well is dry, then you have to go do something else and let the back of your mind kind of unconsciously work on stuff. And I fully believe that, you know, taking a 5 or 10 minute break or going get a cup of coffee or whatever, it really can do wonders for trying to sit down and feel fresh again.
Sounds good. Well, you and I will continue this conversation on our podcast, Monday Morning Marketing at WGN Plus. And where can people find you in the meantime?
You can find me on Twitter at John M. Byrne, B-Y-R-N-E, and also at theburnblog.com.
I know. It's such a great blog that you write. All right, John, I will be talking to you relatively soon, I think.
I think you will, too.
All right. Happy April Fool's Day.
Hey, be careful out there.
I'm trying very hard. All right. It is 12:59. This is WGN Radio.